by way of review, I'm reviewing this. I would review that we stopped in Colossians chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10 is where we were, which reads, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily," speaking of Christ. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And what we said simply was that according to this Bible exposition commentary, it reads that what that word fullness or pleroma in the Greek means, the sum total of all that God is. So when it says in Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead, it means the sum total of all that God is, all his being and all his attributes. In other words, in Jesus is everything that is in the Father. So that when you see Jesus, you have seen the Father. Remember, Jesus said, "Philip, have I been so long with you and you have not known me?" He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because Philip said, "Show us the Father and we'll be happy with that." No, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Everything, so when we read the scriptures and when we see Jesus in the scriptures, everything we see there is what is of the Father, okay? There is nothing in the Father that is not in Jesus. So, but as I was saying a few weeks ago, the Gnostics believed different. That's why Paul was teaching what he was teaching. Remember that the Gnostics would say that you had the Father or the Pleroma or the fullness over here, and out of the fullness would come Confucius, Muhammad, or Allah, Jesus, Vishnu, come on, all the others, Nostradamus, all these other fake idols. They said that all of these, that's what it's, many roads lead to God. That's where that term comes from. Because they believe that out of the fullness, all of these representatives came, these emanations came out of the pleroma or the fullness. Well, Paul was teaching, no, all the fullness, the pleroma, is Jesus, period, okay? So he was teaching truth against the Gnostic teaching, the false teaching of the day. So Christ is all of God, but yet then God put all of us in Christ. He put us in Christ. Ephesians 1 and 4 says that he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. All of God is in Christ, but then God took us and put us in Christ. Hello. That's what he does. This is why it's so important that when I'm reading the scriptures, I'm constantly looking for what God does, because I know what man does. I know what I do. I stink up the place, okay? I know what man does. So I'm constantly looking for, I go here, I want to see God. I want to find God. I want to see what he's doing, right? And so he put us in Christ. And so as I was studying this week for this message, I couldn't get beyond what I'm about to share with you, which isn't anything new, but it is that which we need to remember and to take great delight in. We are his dwelling place. The scriptures, Colossians 2:9 says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of God." But then he comes and dwells in us. Okay? So this is the thing that's been rattling my cage all week long. As I'm thinking about it, I have this prayer. There are certain prayers, I believe, that come as we're praying, that they're not prayers that you decided to pray. It was a prayer, it was a spirit-led prayer that you prayed out of the unction of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost, why? Because the Holy Ghost wants to do something in your life, and he has you pray the prayer. And so I've been praying this prayer for about a few months, and it just dawned on me. it's a prayer of thanksgiving. But it's a prayer that I'm beginning to understand more and more. And it's simply this: Father, I thank you for the person, the power, and the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. And as I pray that day by day by day by day, I find myself conscious and aware of this person, of God living in me. God living in me, right? And so let me ask you something. Can someone be living in your home and you not know it? A little bit. Let me ask that again. Can somebody be living in your home and you not know it? Hello. Well, that ought not to be the case. That ought not to be the case with the Christian. Hello. Because somebody's living here, right? Exodus 25 and 8. Listen, God says, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. So when you read the Old Testament, you read Exodus, and God tells the people, hey, take up an offering and build a sanctuary. The reason why he had them build that sanctuary was not because the people were clawing after God. God, we really want to live with you. Please take us. It's because God wanted to dwell with them. God wanted to dwell with them. Remember Genesis 3? God would come down in the cool of the day, and he would walk with Adam and Eve. They weren't clawing up, God, come, stay, don't leave. No, he was the one coming down, and he would walk with them, and he would talk with them, right? And so God has always wanted to dwell with his people. Right? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 21 says this, in whom you also are being, listen, in whom you also right now are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Where does God dwell? Well, we know he does not dwell in temples made with hands. He dwells in temples not made with hands. He dwells in his people. In the hearts of his people. And he is constantly building that right now. Remember what Jesus says in Matthew 16. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against. He's building his church. He started 2,000 years ago and it's constantly being built up as people are saved all around the globe. His Spirit's doing this. John 14 and 17, the scripture says, Jesus said, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither knows him, neither sees him, nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He says, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will live in you. So there's the question, can someone live in your house and you not know it? There's the answer. Jesus says, you know him because he dwells in you. Okay? So this indwelling of God, I know we don't think it that way. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, it's almost like the Holy Spirit's a it and not a he. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And he lives in this house. And this house belongs to him. Hello. And when you understand that, when that really begins to dig into the core of your being, then you understand that I can't do anything with this house that I want to. Come on, Christian church. I can't go anywhere with this house that I want to take it. I can't say anything. Because I am not my own. I was bought with a price. He says, you're no longer your own. He says, I own you. You are mine. Hello. He lives in here. Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. If he dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And so, listen, what do we need above all things? We need to know that we are God's house, that he dwells in us. We need to, listen, unlike God coming down in Genesis chapter 3 in the garden in the cool of the day. Unlike that, because remember, God did not indwell Adam and Eve. They were innocent. They were sinless. But God did not indwell them. Hello. So unlike him coming down in the cool of the day. The scripture says he came down in Acts chapter 2. And the day you got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, he came down on you and he's been in you ever since. There's no cool of the day. When I wake up in the middle of the night, he's there. When I'm down walking down the street at noon, he's right there. Come on. He's talking to me at the midnight hour. His presence is always there. Why? Because he indwells me. He indwells me. I am his home. I'm his dwelling place. The scripture says that he's always desired to dwell in Zion. 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 Zion used to be a place. But that was just a symbol. The symbol pointed to the true. What was a place, what the symbol was being a place, pointed to the true, which was a people. See, it's never the place, it's the people. Hello? Remember what Jesus said in John 4:23. He says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. He was talking to the Samaritans and other folks. He says, you say that salvation is of the Jews, or they said this, the woman said to him, you say that salvation is of the Jews. And Jesus said, salvation is of the Jews. We know what we worship. We know what we worship. He says, the time is coming and now is, where God is looking for true worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. She says, we were told that this mountain is where you ought to worship. Jesus said, it's not this mountain, nor is it in Jerusalem. He said, the place of worship is in the spirit. It's in the spirit. They were looking to two different places. Jesus says, no, the place is in the spirit. The place is in the spirit. And it's not Jews he's looking for. It's not Samaritans he's looking for. He's looking for true worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. 2 Timothy 1:14, Paul says, that good thing which was committed to you, talking to Timothy, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Not only are we his dwelling, let me say this, we are his building. We are his building. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. All of it speaks, the dwelling, building, temple, house, they all speak to the place where God dwells, and he dwells in his people. We are not only his building, but we are his house. Hebrews 3:6 says, but Christ as a son over his house, over his own house. He talked about Moses being a steward over the children of Israel. In Hebrews 3:6, he says, but Christ as son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence of the rejoicing of hope to the end. And so we are God's house. Peter says it too in 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are being built up a spiritual house. What do you do when you build a house, when you get it all finished? You live in it. You move into it. Well, if we're being built up a spiritual house, what's the purpose of that house? He's going to fill it. He's going to live in it. You say, how's this going to work? I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work. But I know this, he's going to accomplish his will. So not only are we his house, but we are his temple. We are his temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? That deserves meditation and quiet contemplation all by itself. Because you don't hear that every day. And I'm not talking about just from the pulpit. I'm saying that's not a thought that crosses your mind every day. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? That question, answers to that question, will radically change your life. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? This is why Christians ought to live a holy life. Why? Because when, you know, when you move into a house, you've heard me say this before, but when you move into a house, you paint the walls the color you want it. Come on. You move the furniture around where you want it. Why? Because it's your house. You fix it up the way you want it. You want granite countertops? You have granite put in. You want marble floors? You put marble in. And but you fix it up the way you want it, right? And so that's what he's doing. He says, you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Why do Christians strive to live a holy life? It's not because of the law. How many remember a song years ago? I was listening to it yesterday. Micah Stramble. Holiness, holiness is what I long for, yeah. Holiness is what I need. You ever heard that song? Holiness. And he was crying out for it. But holiness, the reason why the Christian desires holiness is because the one who lives in them is holy. The reason why the world doesn't know anything about holiness is because they don't have him dwelling in them. There's none holy as the Lord. And the reason why we live holy lives is because the Holy One is living in us and expressing himself through us. So the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. 1 Corinthians 6:19, I've gone on that so many times, we all know it by heart. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Therefore, we're to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are God's. We're the temple, his dwelling place. Remember when David, and here again is in the Old Testament, it shows us again when God put something in the heart of his leader to do, but it was God's doing because he was going to bring it to pass later. And that was when God made David king over Israel, and he built another king, forget where he's from, but he sends David wood and everything. They build David a house, and David's sitting in his house. He says, oh, but I want a house for the ark of my God. He says, I want to build your house. And Nathan said, the Lord's with you. Go do all that is in your heart. And so Nathan walks away. Later that night, the Spirit of the Lord comes to Nathan and says, go tell David, you're not going to build me a house. You shed too much blood. He says, but I tell you what, it was good that it was in your heart. This is what God said to David. It was good that it was in your heart. I wonder where that came from. See, what God does, he'll put something in your heart. You'll pray it. He'll put it in your heart, but it's his will and his doing. But he's going to have you pray it and see it come to pass. And sometimes he puts people in certain circumstances and situations in order for that to happen. And I've shown you that all throughout the Old Testaments, with Abraham and Isaac. Abraham, Sarah was barren, and Abraham's crying out to God. He said, God, you've given me no son. I need a son. He's crying out for a son. But not only did Abraham need a son, God in the Spirit says, yeah, I need a son too. I need to get my son into the earth, but I'm going to have you pray it. Why? Because God always has us as a part. See? And so he works through our prayers. So he'll bring a circumstance to pass in your life that'll bring, not only will he get your will done, but he'll get his done too. And so David said, I want to build you a house. He says, no, your son's going to build me a house. Dual prophetic fulfillment. Because Solomon built the Lord a house, but the Lord doesn't dwell in a house made with hands. It would be his son Jesus that would come and build him the true house that he would dwell in. You see that dual prophetic fulfillment? So you see how God put it in the heart of David to do this, and he prayed about it. I was reading it just yesterday where David and his generation, God says, you're not going to build a house, but then David said this. He said, I won't build it, but let me now make great preparation for it. See, I'm in the David age. I'm in the David years. Okay. See, because when you get older, there's some things you can't do, but you have resources with which you can make preparation for someone else to do it. So David, the Bible says, he built up gold and silver and bronze without measure and iron and so forth, and he made preparation. So when this Solomon got old enough, he could build the temple. Where's temple? 2 Corinthians 6:16 reads this way, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So we see what God says. What does he say about our part? "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." He says, "I will dwell in them." That's happening today because of what God said, prophesied millennia ago. Ephesians 2:21 says, "In whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord." That's what God's doing now. And after I looked at all that, my soul said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." Because look at what God has done. Look at what he's done. That's why we're all here today. Hello. That's why people around the world are worshiping Jesus, because he's building his house. He's building his dwelling place. So God's, as I said earlier, God's spirit, as we know it today, did not live in Adam and Eve. He would come in the cool of the day. But now he fills his body with his wonderful presence. There is not a moment where you are separated from God. Hello? There's not a moment. He said in Hebrews 13:8, he says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's what he said. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So all the day long while I'm in people's houses cleaning carpet, doesn't matter what it is, I sense his presence. And every now and again, he'll say something very clearly. And as he said it, it's exactly how it came out. Just little things. But little things to let you know, I'm here. I'm here. Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. I say, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Your presence is just so wonderful, so beautiful." So it's his wonderful presence. It's him living in us. That's why the life of the Christian continually changes. It's because he lives here. It's because he lives here. I always say the reason why we live holier lives now than 10 years ago is because of his presence in us. His holy presence living in this temple. That's why we can't live in a lie. Huh? You want to know why a Christian can't live a lie? Because the truth is dwelling on the inside. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And the reason why a Christian can't live a lie is because the truth is bearing witness to your conscience every moment that you try to live a lie. He won't have it. That's why I've known for years, sinners won't come in this church and stay. Why? Because the presence of God is either going to deal with you, you're going to get saved, or you're going to leave. But you're not going to be able to stay. Because the church is filled with his spirit. And the spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so it's the reason we can't live and walk in darkness. Because we have him who is the light living on the inside. It's the reason why we can't remain in sin, because he is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood, right? We can't live a life of sin, because he who is our righteousness is dwelling on the inside. It's why our lives become purer and purer, day by day, year by year, because he who is holy is living on the inside. So we are his dwelling place. And my prayer is for us to recognize the extent to which we are the dwelling place of God. And in doing so, give all the glory to him who is building this house. Amen. Let's stand. Amen. Father, we thank you, O God, for truth. We thank you, O God, for your building this temple, this house. Thank you for making us your dwelling place according to your word, according to your desire. We didn't start this, God. You did. You saved us. You found us in darkness, O God, and you rescued us, pulled us out, and thrust us into the light of your Son, Jesus. And now we give you thanks and praise, and now our hearts are overwhelmed with gratefulness, O God, because of your goodness toward us, O God. Father, Lord, may we recognize and be sensitive to the presence of the Holy Spirit, the person, your voice, O God, your leading, pricking our conscience, that still small voice leading us and checking us and guiding us as to your will and your desire in our lives. O God, thank you for making us your dwelling place. We ask your blessing over this food, over our fellowship, Lord, and over every word from one to another we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you real good.